Hey guys.
Hey guys,
It's Bianca.
yeah, I'm Eliza, and welcome back
Welcome back.
to
Oh, yep. You can go.
my other
No.
half.
Yeah.
There we go. We got it.
Fantastic. So we just want to say hey, obviously, but we want to thank you guys so much for all the love. We got so much more love than we expected, honestly.
So much more. I was like,
The reposting of like the
the
stories is my
stories.
favorite because it's so nice to actually see like you listening to it. I don't know. We just at that like every time we got a new one, I was like,
I screenshot it and sent it to Bianca. I was like, oh my gosh, look at this. Oh my gosh. It
it's just so nice and like the comments and the DMs and everything. It was just like it's just so sweet. So thank you guys so much.
Yeah,
And
you guys are
everyone
the
said it did
best.
sound like a conversation with friends. And that's exactly what we
That
wanted.
exactly. Sally Rooney, Conversation with Friends.
Great book.
Shout
Also,
out.
did you read her new book yet?
Haven't started now.
Either.
We need to do like a book club.
Wait a damn minute.
That would actually be kind of good.
That is fun. I used to do that on my YouTube, and it's really fun because I feel like, I don't know, it's nice to like branch out of books you like wouldn't normally go for
Read,
too.
yeah, and then like talk about it.
Yeah. So if you guys would like that,
It's okay
off
if
the
you don't
cuff,
want it.
as Eliza says.
Yeah, it's just an off-the-cuff idea, you know.
You said that like three times in the
Did I really?
podcast. Yeah, maybe
I
two,
feel like
maybe
I didn't
one.
say it at all.
You said it, and I said onomatopoeia like five times.
Oh. No, I
Also,
said cups. I think that's what you're thinking of.
no, you said off the cuff like three times.
Sorry, I gotta drink my
No
Pepsi.
problem. No worries.
Thanks.
But seriously, guys, thank you so much. It
Yeah,
means so little to us,
it really
really. So
does.
we
Had like
love
the
you guys.
best happy week. It really made my week. Really
Is it
boosted
true?
my
I was on
mood.
my phone so much and I wasn't even sad about it.
Me too. I was like, and I always felt so busy because I was like, oh my gosh, someone said
Yes.
something, this, blah, 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 blah. I just liked it.
I agree.
It was really great.
I guess what we want to do before we go into topics, usually we kind of want to like recap on our week, maybe.
Yeah, just like a
Not much
little.
happens for me personally. Eliza, maybe a little more.
Not really, though.
I have no friends where I live, so Eliza actually has friends and does things.
But
Can't
like,
relate.
probably once a week. That's like it.
I do my schoolwork and I go to work and I come back and I watch Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, I basically do the same thing. Go to
What are you
school.
watching right now?
Ozark.
Eliza has watched every single TV show there probably
I
is.
could do a whole episode on TV shows, my favorite TV shows.
A lot. Like, you name one TV show, it can be the most like random, low-key
Obscure.
TV show.
I love.
She's really into Norwegian TV right now.
There's something about it that is just next level. Like, it makes you feel like you're living in a different world. It's like
Norwegian.
comforting.
We have some Norwegian viewers on our app that we use for our. Oh my
Oh,
God, this is so
yeah.
fun. So we have this app for our podcast that we upload. It's like a third party, pretty much, to go onto Spotify and Apple Music, and you can see like where people live. Like,
Like specific
so many of you guys are
cities.
from Germany.
You're Germany? Yeah, there's a lot from Germany,
The
which is like, oh my
Netherlands.
gosh.
Yeah, wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
We might be going to both of those countries.
We might.
We might be
Secrets.
moving to both of those countries.
Don't tell anyone. A secret.
Berlin.
Amsterdam.
We might be looking into both of those places. Something in my throat.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know what's going on.
So
It's all
weird.
weird. My
Guys
God.
and I might live together one day, finally. We've never lived together. Is that crazy?
Well, we basically did. Okay, I'm
So
not gonna like sophomore year of college for me, I like was there all 24/7.
yeah. Not to mention my sister again, but my sister hated Eliza.
At the beginning, yeah, she hated me. She had it out for me. I'm sorry, Crystal, but you did. You would admit it now.
She denies it to this day, and I'm like, no.
She literally did. She was like,
She's like, why is she always here?
then we would like hide, make sure I left before she came home from work.
I felt like I was like sneaking my boyfriend in or something.
Literally, we were like, okay, God, you gotta go. Like, you need to run right now. Run out of the apartment and go home. That was really funny. Good
Also,
times.
I guess we don't have much to talk about this week, but Eliza has a beautiful black cat named Stevie. And I've always wanted a ginger cat for some reason. I don't know why. Just I've always wanted a ginger cat and I want to name it Frankie.
Frankie and Stevie.
I will cry right
Similar
now. Like,
vibes.
I will cry.
She's literally just loafing on the couch behind me.
So we're trying
so much.
I know. Stop.
I look at her and I want to literally eat her face. Like, I want to bite her head off. But like, out of love.
Of course, peace and love.
Like, I just want to look at her and I just want to squeeze her. It's really concerning. I really love her so much. Animals in general, I'm just obsessed. I know.
They're so pure.
We don't deserve them. We really don't.
We don't.
No.
So onto another topic.
Onto another topic, getting on to the topic of today's episode.
So we are both very passionate about mental health. Yeah. I'm studying psychology, which I think is a big contender of it, but also we've both dealt with mental health stuff our whole lives. Mm-hmm. As do most of us. So we kind of want to talk about that. I think today's going to be more of like an introduction to like our stories and
maybe touching on a few questions maybe. Yeah. Cause this is like a multi-depth topic.
So like, there's so much you can go about it too.
Yeah.
Also, we just want to say this is our personal experience. You know, depression, anxiety, everything is so different for every single person. So, and we're also not professionals. I might be studying psychology, but I am not a professional.
We don't have our license.
No. So this is just, I'm just speaking from personal experience.
Yeah.
We're going to be, you know, as sensitive as we can, but also just our personal experience. So
yeah,
that's just a little warning, forewarning for us, I think.
Yeah.
Sure. Also trigger warning.
Depression.
Anxiety.
Just other triggering topics if it's like a sensitive topic for you, which is great. Just like, you don't have to listen to it, just take care of yourself and just see us the next episode if it's not for you,
or if you want to skip to the end, we'll answer some questions or something. But so do you kind of want to go into, when did you realize that you had what you deal with or whatever?
I feel like our stories are kind of similar in this way.
I agree.
First, it was anxiety for me. That was like the big prominent thing when I was a child. I mean, obviously still to this day, but I feel like now it's more depression than it is anxiety. But when I was a kid, I was always just such an anxious kid. Like, my mom would describe me as like a worrywart. Like, I was just so stressed out and anxious, and it became like, was debilitating at times. Like, it was really bad. And I was like, this is just not like, like, is this how everybody's like? Like, I was just so confused. I was also a child, so it's hard for me to process what's going on. But yeah, that was always like part of my life, and I never really understood it until I started going to therapy when I was probably in like 7th grade or something. But I know you have a similar kind of like background story.
Mine's actually pretty much like the exact same. Yeah, I don't know. My mom and dad always said like I was just super nervous all the time. I was also very, very, very shy. And not that that always correlates. You can be shy and not deal with anxiety. But for me, I was so shy that I didn't even talk to like family members until I was like 12, 13.
Yeah.
I only really like, I clung to my mom. Like
I couldn't be apart from her. I would literally cry.
Same. And my mom just always mentions like as early as like 3 that I would just really just, there was just something there and they just both didn't know, I think. I just like wouldn't speak, or I would like I would shake a lot. I would cry over.
I would have a lot of temper tantrums just because I was overwhelmed.
Yeah. Like almost, my mom said my whole body would tremble and she would hold me and I would tremble. And she said that was always like the first thing she noticed. And before school, I used to get a lot of anxiety before school.
Me too. And I hated school.
Same. And
like,
it was,
I wouldn't want to go.
And it was more than just like, because who really likes school?
Yeah, nobody loves, like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to go to school today.
Unless it's like a fun day.
But like PJ day. Did you ever have those? Pajama days?
Field day.
I had field days too.
Not that I liked that.
Oh, I got anxiety because I didn't want to perform sports in front of everybody.
Yeah, so that's when it started to go into for me. And then it started to progress more. And I think it was more noticeable when I started to go into elementary school and I could vocalize it, because it would start with just me. I used to get a lot of anxiety in the morning before school. And I just like did not know how to explain it. I was like, why do I feel like, it's just so hard to explain unless you deal with it. Like it's more than just being nervous. It's like, like you said, like it's debilitating. Like I would have, like, I would just like not be able to speak sometimes. Like I would just,
I would like have to go to the nurse because I'm like, I can't do this. Like,
and then it started to progress to me like disassociation a little bit. I don't know why. Like for me, it would start with like hyper awareness. Like I would become very aware of like my body movements.
You're breathing.
My breathing. That's what I would, like, yeah. The way my arm would move, or just, I would just like overthink and hyper fixate on something. And then that would lead to me feeling like I wasn't in my own body. And that's when my anxiety really started to spike, because that is a crazy feeling to try to describe when you don't know what it is.
Yeah. I didn't know what that was literally until I met you, because you were the only other person that like understood the feeling, and you're like, that's disassociation. I'm like, that's how I felt my whole life, and I didn't even know.
For sure. And I dealt with that for so long, and like I didn't tell anyone about it because I was like, how do you describe this?
Yeah,
like really, I feel like I'm out of my own body. Like and then I was so afraid. I hate the word crazy, because especially when it comes to when people label that as like mental health stuff, because it just makes people feel like
it's not validating their experiences at all.
Yeah. And I was so afraid, or I was always called dramatic my whole life.
That was me.
And I was like, but I'm not being dramatic. Like, I don't know why I feel this
like
way.
This is how I feel, and I'm sorry. Like,
yeah. And then you go into your teenage years.
That's when it was the worst for me, for sure.
And I feel like that's when depression really creeped into my life. But I look back and I definitely dealt with depression way younger, but I feel like that's when I like in my mind, and when I talk about it in therapy, that's when I really like pinpoint it, because being a teenage girl, I think, is so fucking hard.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I see teenage girls now and I'm like, I just like, oh my gosh.
I just want to hug them. I'm like, I'm so like, you could not pay me money to go back to those years.
No, me either. Like, oh my God, 14 to like 17. Oh my God.
That was a bad time for me.
And then depression like really creeped into my life. And for me, my anxiety leads to depression, and my depression leads to my anxiety.
Yeah. Very similar. Yeah. It's like a codependent thing. They're like dependent on each other.
And and then I just, you know, stuff happened in my life. And also like, I had a very like unstable childhood too. I moved around a lot. My parents like got divorced and then got remarried to each other again. Yeah. And I've never talked about that online before. Sorry.
Dropping a bomb, baby.
Yeah,
life changes definitely have an impact on you. I also moved around a lot too, so I get that. Same with like chronic pain issues, learning disability, all those kind of things also like stacked on top of each other just makes your anxiety and depression worse, at least for me personally.
For sure. But I will say one thing. I talk about this all the time. We were like the last little sliver of generation to not grow up with social media really young. Yeah, and I'm so fucking grateful for that.
Could you imagine if we had like Instagram in elementary school?
No.
I wasn't allowed to get a phone till 8th grade. I was old for my grade, so I was probably like, 16? I was old for my grade. How old are 8th graders?
Probably like,
because I'm always a year or two older.
I have no idea, man. I don't know. What were we? Social media. Like, I'm so grateful that we were like the last generation to like not have the amount of social media.
That would have impacted it in so negatively.
I had Tumblr, which I look back on, I'm like,
my mom didn't let me have one, but I still had like a secret Tumblr account.
That's how I started to gain some following back in the day, was through Tumblr. Like,
Tumblr was like a big, like, you could definitely gain, like,
there was like a whole era of people.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's
it can be very damaging, social media.
I think social media, if I ever do have children and social media is still around, I definitely think.
Oh, I'm not giving my kid till the last possible moment a phone.
I'm like, I'm going to be so strict.
Yeah, me too. And then they're going to like beg. I'm like, okay, fine. I can't take it.
Isn't it weird? We're going to be like, if we choose to be mothers one day.
I don't want to go. That gives me anxiety thinking about that.
Okay. This is like so sidetracked. This is how our podcast is going to work. So please bear with us. We get sidetracked. Yeah. When I was younger, like, catch me at 16 being like, I'm going to be engaged by 25.
Oh, my mom got married at 22. And I was like, oh, I'll be married by 22. I'm 22 now. Am I married? No. Do I love her? No.
I'm 23 and I think of every man in my life and I'm like, absolutely not happening
anymore. Yeah, like, oh my gosh, I could not.
Not that I have many men in my life.
No shame to people who get married young. That's very admirable. Like, I give you so much credit, but I could not.
Also, I don't want to live with a man.
Stop. I'm going to have separate bedrooms.
Absolutely.
That should be a requirement. I stand by that. I want to share a bed 24/7. Are you kidding me? That gives me anxiety.
My space.
It has to smell like me. It needs to be perfect up to my standards. I don't want anyone coming in and messing it up.
Or just living with a man.
No. There's just something that doesn't connect with them in terms of living together. I'm sorry, but like,
not to generalize.
But yeah, obviously this is a huge generalization.
Also, like, wait, the TikToks were like, the girls, like, the fact that we have to share their decor.
And they try to like incorporate it, and it's like oh my gosh, I don't want to be mean, but like, I want them to feel comfortable. So like, I'm going to try to incorporate it, but I really don't want to. Can I be honest?
Of every guy that I know in my life and their decor style, and I'm getting upset.
Yeah, same. It's all not.
They always tape or nail something random into the wall.
Yeah, I don't get.
And maybe they get a lot of that
random spots. That's the vibe, right? Like,
I'm picturing just like they always nail like random things into the wall.
Yeah, or just like, I don't know. Sorry, not to be a hater.
And the LED lights.
I used to have them. Do you remember when I tried to have those in my dorm for like one day and then they all fell off and I was like, I hate these things. Get them out, please.
I know. I can't do the LEDs. I like dim lighting, but I can't do like the
We only do ambient lighting here. No overhead lighting. That's banned in this town. Absolutely terrible. Excuse you.
Thank you so much.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Sometimes I just think about so sidetracked. My apologies. That's in my brain. But funny looking back, and when I was 16, I would be like, I'm not kidding. I thought by 23 I would be in a relationship where I knew I was gonna marry them.
Oh, I thought I was gonna have a kid by 23, probably. I was like, I can't believe my mom waited till she was 30 to have me and my sister. Like, that's so old.
Now I think of 30, I'm now like, that's so young.
Bitch, I don't want to fucking have a kid till I'm like mid-30s.
I can't.
I can't either. It's just like, no.
No, but sometimes I really do get baby fever. It's not. It's just.
It comes and goes from like,
I want a baby. What?
Yeah, it's in waves. Sometimes I'm like, I don't want a kid. And then there are other times I'm like, I want a kid right now.
And then sometimes I'm like, I want to be married right now. And then I meet a man and I'm like, never mind.
Yeah, and then you take it all back. And it just becomes an endless cycle.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know how that related to mental health there, but just a little
side. It didn't. Okay. I'm so sorry. Anyways, school anxiety. Yeah. So when were you introduced to therapy for the first time?
I'm trying to think. So since I had a learning disability growing up. So like I had a lot of struggles just like with reading and writing and stuff like that. So I would go to, I don't know if it's called, it was therapy, like for my motor skills and things like that. And to try to, I was very, I couldn't talk much about, like, I couldn't express my emotions, if that makes sense. So I went to like specialized people for that. So I always was aware of the idea of therapy, but it wasn't like until I was in middle school where the idea of like, okay, we go to someone, we sit down, we talk about our week, what we're feeling, they're going to give you advice, blah, blah, blah. And I remember the first time I went to a psychologist or psychiatrist when I was, I think in fifth grade, and it was like the worst experience. Like it was like the quintessential, like how does that make you feel?
Oh yeah.
You feel like this. And like she was invalidating my experiences and being like, I don't know, like pushing medication. And my mom was like, you're literally like so young, like you're in fifth grade. But then when I got into like middle school, when I moved to Pittsburgh, that's when like a more healthier relationship with therapy started. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was like for you, if it was like similar or
I'm trying to think of like the first time. I know I tried going when I was like 13, 14, but I was so angsty.
Yeah, I was too.
I like was not for it. Like I would sit on the couch, like how they do like in the movies, and be like, I'm not talking to you. Like I literally refused.
Yeah.
So it came to a point where I wasn't even benefiting from it. And then I went to it when I was like 15, 16, I want to say like 16 when I moved to California, and I had like the best therapist of my life. Like I want to like message her and like thank her, because she's like one of the reasons why I went into psych.
Yeah.
She was like the best. She specialized in children therapy. So I think that was also like a really, or like adolescent, which I think was really helpful, because I think adolescents are so complex, but also can be very simple.
And it's very, that's a pivotal time.
Pivotal.
Life that like having someone that can impact you so much in a positive way is so important, that understanding.
And obviously we're speaking from a very privileged place of being able to go to therapy, because obviously that's not always
not accessible and not,
which it should be.
Yeah, that's,
but
don't get me started on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I know there, I don't know exactly, so I don't want to speak, you know, with exact links or anything, but I know there are mental health resources online. Yeah. If we find some, we can link some.
There are also some services I know that do provide free like counseling.
Really?
Yeah, but it probably varies from state to state and stuff like that, right. But I can try to look.
Yeah, if we find anything, we will definitely leave it in the descriptions of my YouTube video and then this podcast. But yeah, back to therapy. That really helped me. And then I also feel like you sometimes outgrow therapists sometimes when you start to enter new chapters of your life. So I just like started, it takes a little while to find your fit as well. I think a lot of people think like you just go to therapy and you love them right away.
Yeah. Like
it takes, if that does happen, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But I went, it's to also,
oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. Go
on. I was going to say, I went to the same therapist for like 6 years, and that was so time. That was like one of the, no, I do not recommend
that. Also feel like that can be a little tricky, especially when you're growing up. Like I can imagine going to the same therapist, I'm 23, I can imagagine going to the same therapist I went to when I was,
and they're always going to see you from the perspective of when they first met you.
Do
you
of know course what I
mean? Like it was just
in a way, yeah, like they help you grow and they help you gain these tools. Sure. But also I also want to say, I think one of the main things when you go into therapy is if you want the help, you'll receive it a little more.
Talk about this like, all the time.
And because I started therapy when I came back from Switzerland, just because I was going through like a lot of first experiences and, you know, things that I hadn't dealt with before. And I was like, I kind of had not a negative connotation towards therapy, because I would love to be a therapist one day, but it was more, I just wasn't into it. Like I was like
almost resistant in a way.
Yeah. And then when you're sitting there and you're like, I don't really want to be here.
And everything they say, you're like, I already know that. I already try to do that. It's just not.
Yeah. You kind of get in this mindset where you're like, well, this isn't helping me. Like, so you're not willing to be more vulnerable and open up. So I think one of the biggest things is to make sure you really, really want to do therapy and something that you really want to benefit from. Cause then I feel like the energy you get will be more helpful and positive if it's something that like you really want. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, nobody really, I feel like coming from personal perspective, nobody really wants to go to like,
no,
that's not really something like, oh, I'm so excited, like I really need to do this for myself. But like, it needs to be a step that you are willing to take and willing to work on yourself.
Also, I will say one thing that I do as someone that's been on medication, and I think medication can be extremely helpful, and I've also gone to therapy, still go when you feel good.
Oh yeah. Because
like a lot of people are like, I feel good.
They stop.
So stop going.
Yeah.
And that's when you should go the most, to remind yourself that you can feel good. You can progress. You can, you know, grow from whatever pain you're going through, or, you know, what you struggle with on a day to day.
Yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes for me, I'm not speaking for every single person, like we said in the beginning, but for me, I know when I'm feeling good, I'm like, I'm going to skip therapy this week.
I know. Like I'm doing really good. Like I'm really proud of myself. And then like next week, like
that,
like, or hit just bottom, like, or just like, I don't know. I get out of the routine.
Cause you're like, oh, I feel good. Like I can like lay off a little bit.
Yeah.
But I do think it's really important to stick to a routine with therapy and, you know, hold yourself accountable to going, even when you don't feel like going. There are certain days where I'm like, I do not fucking feel like doing this. Like, I do not want to talk about my childhood. I do not want to talk about whatever I went through in the past year.
You're like, if I have to talk about this one more time, I'm going to
explode. I always am happy I went. I will say that.
Every time after, it always gives you something to think about.
Yes.
And it's always a reflection. Like, even if you're not, you think you're not taking away from it,
you are.
You are. And you're also being more vulnerable because you're sharing your experiences with others. And that's like a really beautiful thing and a big step to take. I know for me personally, there's things that I wasn't really willing and able to talk about. And then when I finally did open up, it felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulder in a sense.
I also think in therapy for me, I'll like start speaking and I'm like, I didn't even know this bothered me.
Oh, and when you fixate on things, that's for me. When I'm like, oh, that didn't bother me. But then I bring it up and we talk about it for 30 minutes. I'm like, okay, well, obviously that was something that annoyed me.
My biggest thing is what stems from my anxiety a lot is obsessive thinking. And like, I fixate on something. Eliza can say this. Like, if I go out and like, I have a conversation with someone, I will be like, was that mean? Like, did I sound rude? Or, and I'll ask Eliza like 14,000 times. And she's like, Bianca.
It's
like, I don't know fixations if that's necessarily, I think I have some form of social anxiety for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's necessarily being shy anymore, because I think I kind of,
I think there's stereotypes around social anxiety.
There are. I think a lot of people expect
misinformation.
Very, very introverted. Yeah. And I am definitely introverted in certain aspects compared to others. But I do think that, like, for me, social anxiety is more my take on my personal social anxiety. Again, this is my experience. I will literally say hi to someone and I will think about how I said hi to that person for fucking 5 days. I'm not kidding. And I will fixate on it and I'll be like, they hate me.
And then make up scenarios in your head. Like,
and then I believe these scenarios are happening. And that's a lot of my anxiety that I work through in my therapy, and just not even in my therapy, but just in my day-to-day life. Like, telling myself how people perceive you is not your job. Do you know what I mean? Like, we all perceive people and we all perceive things. But one thing I always remind myself of, and this always gives me clarity, everyone's in their own world. People aren't as focused on you as you think they are.
It's like when you walk into a room and you're so worried that everybody's looking at you, but in reality, everyone's worried about themselves and they're not even looking
Absolutely.
At you.
Absolutely. Or no one remembered what you said at that party.
I would like go home and make my stomach hurt about it.
Yeah. I even do that to this day. And it can be so simple as like I had an interaction with someone that's a friend of a friend, and I said something that maybe I didn't want to say, or I overshare when I get nervous.
Yeah.
And I tell everyone like my life story, and then I'm like, oh,
like, oh, that wasn't supposed to come out. Sorry, guys.
Or the way that Eliza and I deal with things, we laugh at our own shit.
Yeah. And our own traumas. I make jokes about everything. It can be very inappropriate at times, only about mine, obviously not about, that's how I cope in a way.
Yeah, mine too.
Is laughing and making jokes about it because it's uncomfortable.
I only make jokes about my own.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. Only about your own. Like, never, you can't ever.
Never make jokes about other people's trauma.
Other people's.
That's absolutely not okay.
Not
okay. But my own trauma, I'll like make jokes about it.
We both do.
We do it in front of someone that like maybe doesn't deal with mental health stuff.
Oh, and they're like. And I'm like, oh, sorry. Like, that's just how like I process. Like, oh, oops.
But I also think, I guess kind of going into tools that help us, therapy obviously is one, but I also think if, you know, therapy isn't accessible to you or it's just not something you want to do right now. I think there's so many things. I think one thing that helps me, I don't want to say keeping busy because I feel like sometimes busyness can be a distraction from dealing with things, and I don't suggest that.
You don't have
that.
Time to actually process what's actually going
and
on.
That's not healthy because then you explode.
Exactly. I used to do that a lot.
Me too. I'd be like, I would focus so much on my work. I would focus so much on school, on my YouTube, on my friendships.
I'd be like, well, I don't have time to think about that, so I guess it's not happening. Like, that's how my brain.
I feel like that's kind of what I did in Switzerland. A lot of people want me to talk about Switzerland.
Yeah, that can be it. That can be a joint podcast. I didn't go with you, but we can talk about how that impacted both of us for sure.
Yeah. I think I went to Switzerland thinking that I was like so ready to do that. And I was, and it was such a beautiful experience. And I'm so grateful for it. My throat. But I think I kept so busy in so many things that I kind of came back, and towards the end I was like, I'm not okay.
The process, yeah.
Like, I focused on school, I had a relationship at the time, like I focused so much on like everything else other than myself.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh. So I think really taking a step back, also setting boundaries with people around you, I know is really boundaries important.
Obviously, boundaries are hard. Nobody likes to do it, no. But they are crucial.
Also, do not feel guilty for setting boundaries with
your
people.
Mental health and also just the health of your relationships.
Totally.
In general. Like they.
Liza and I probably don't have any boundaries, but we're a little different.
We talk about that. And we're like, maybe we should create a boundary there. And then we're like, no.
No.
Don't use this as an example. But like typically in every, you know, relationship, friendship, whatever, boundaries are really important.
I know this past year I learned boundaries more than ever because I feel like I give so much of myself to other people. And I learned that more this past year than anything, that when you feel like you aren't, you're giving so much more to others than you're getting from them. Or I think for me, naturally, I'm quote unquote like the therapist friend a lot of the time.
People unload on you.
And I'm so grateful for that. I am. I will always be there for the people in my life. But I feel like sometimes I take on other people's energy and problems. Like if I know Eliza is going through something, I will stay up late and be like, she's sad. Like I have to fix it. Like I don't, and yeah. That's not my friend's fault. That's a boundary that I need to set. So I think one thing that I really implemented this past year in my life is like really setting these boundaries and not feeling guilty for it, because you can still be there for people, but still have boundaries. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think boundaries actually keep the friendship stronger.
Oh, 100%. They're what makes it last, in my personal opinion.
I agree. Also, I think it's okay to be like, hey, like I'm going through my own stuff right now and I really need to take time to figure it out. I'm there for you, but I also think
even if people, it's, you know, your friends are there to listen, but you have to keep them in consideration and be like, hey, like I know you're going through a lot of stuff right now. Like, are you able to listen to what I have going on? I understand it can be a lot.
I think it's really important because, you know, there's venting, but there's also excessive venting to someone. And I think it's really important before you're like upset about something to be like, hey, like, is it okay if I talk to you about this? Or is it okay?
Do you have the mental space to take this on?
Because it can be a lot if you're dealing, like for me, say I'm in like a little depression episode and I'm, you know, having a hard time and someone comes to me and, you know, they're going through something and you want to be there for them, but also it can be triggering to hear what other people are dealing with. So I also think that's really important. And a real friend and a real companion will understand and not be offended by your boundaries. Because I'm sure people have set boundaries with me before, and that's completely okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really important to take time to focus on yourself. And if that means, you know, taking a break from something or, you know, setting these boundaries with people, I don't know. I feel like that's also something that really helps me.
Yeah, creating like a healthy space for your mind, body, and soul.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Oh my God.
For sure. At the same time. Also, I know a lot of people say this, but I sometimes think the popular things are true. Journaling. Hello.
Yeah. Journaling, as much as I was resistant to it at first, because I was like, ugh.
You're like, does this actually help?
I was like, this is like stupid. Like, I don't want to do this. But then once I did it, I felt so much better afterwards. And I was like, wait.
One thing for me, I know journaling can definitely be a little daunting. It can be a little intimidating.
Also, if you have a lot on your mind and you don't want it, just the idea of journaling about it can be a little anxiety inducing.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
If you ever feel like journaling will give you anxiety, I don't suggest doing it. Yeah. I know for me, sometimes journaling can actually make it worse, but I feel like for me, journaling, like I said, it can be a little intimidating. Just do a mind dump. Literally, if you don't feel like doing
it. Or like lists.
Yeah. Or just random fucking words. Yeah. I keep cursing.
Okay, I curse. Please.
What was I saying? Oh, that just, I think sometimes we feel like we have to like journal pretty. We have to journal like certain prompts or whatever. Literally just write down whatever the hell comes out.
Yeah. Like
I ate pasta today. That might progress into something.
I took a beautiful nap today.
Also, gratitude list helped me a lot.
I always tell Bianca this, but what I do is every time before I go to bed, I go through the alphabet and I think of a gratitude list for each letter in the alphabet, starting from A to Z.
Like what would be A?
A would be my apartment.
Am I always B?
That I have a house over me. Yes.
You're never E.
B for Bianca.
Do people know we call each other baby boy? When did that start?
I think people might be confused on that because we do comment that on people's each other's Instagram. And I've had a few comments be like, what does that mean? And I'm like,
really?
It's just like an inside joke.
I think I could be making this up. I don't
really remember.
But I remember sitting in my East Village apartment with the mice.
The iconic apartment.
That everyone knows about now. And I remember we were sitting in my bed and it was when I had the polka dot comforter.
The iconic polka dot comforter. I'll never forget that. That would be in the museum also. We need to add that.
Oh, Eliza and I have this thing called the Bianca and Eliza Museum. Not that anyone would care or visit. But in our head, we have like iconic things. Like we talked about in the last podcast, the cookie shoes. Like the
cookie shoes would be in the museum for sure.
Yeah. Eliza has this Nirvana shirt.
The one that everyone had in like 2018.
From Urban.
And
she wore it so much. It's like strung out on the neck.
Yeah. It's like really, I just will not get rid of it because it has such good memories attached to it.
But anyway, yeah. I remember we were talking about how like we didn't like, we don't when like you're in a relationship and they call you like baby girl or something.
Or like it's just oh, not baby. Our vibe. Like,
I see, fuck off because
I guess I can't say anything. My opinion might change in a few years. But from an outsider perspective, looking in, it cringes me out. But yeah, I think a lot of people would say that. Like when you're looking at an outsider and they're like, yeah. Oh, baby, and you're like, ugh. But then maybe when it's like you and your partner, like,
because I was like that too. I was like, I'm never gonna let my partner call me baby. And then who I was with did, and I was like, oh,
wait a damn minute.
And then I started to say it. I think, oh, baby, no. And I'm like, who the fuck is that?
Like, whoa.
Oh my god, when you get in a relationship and you start to do things like you would make fun of your friends for. Oh my god.
Like,
I would be like, I would never be like, oh my god, I miss him. And then I'd be apart from him for like 2 days and I would be like, oh my god.
Like, okay. Oh yeah, I'll see you one day. Never been in a relationship before. So
when we moved to Berlin/Amsterdam.
Yeah, that will be a whole new journey for us. But baby boy, that was just a joke. I think it was an inside joke we had. Was it? We don't really have inside jokes. It's just like
out. I don't know, but we just call each other baby boy. And I do it in public sometimes.
When we're together.
Yeah, we do it in public.
Specifically, we were in Publix. And I was trying to guess, and they're like, baby boy. Like, and I was, and everyone would be like, what the
hell? I'm pretty sure at my birthday dinner, you were like, baby boy, let's go.
Oh my gosh, you're right. And all your friends were like, there's just silence in the room.
You're like, everyone already probably thinks we're like,
lovers.
In love.
Yeah.
Whatever, think it.
Think what you want. Baby boy.
So that was the episode.
Yeah, that was, should we answer like one question maybe?
Yes. Also, we are so sorry if we go off track. We hope you guys like that. I think you guys will. I don't know.
If you don't like the off trackness, let us know. We won't be offended. We can try to be a little more targeted. But we, I think, want for us to be like a real conversation, and that's how we are.
We really wanted to sound like you were in the room with us, like having this conversation. And that's what happens. I feel like when you talk to friends, you go talk about like 12 different things.
Yeah. Not like an interview where you're like, this is what happened and blah, 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 blah. Like,
no, but we definitely do want to go more into, if you want us to go more into actual mental health stuff, definitely let us know. I know this is a little broad, but that's kind of like the introduction we want to have to it. Also again, it was just our experiences.
Don't take anything as fact or, you know, obviously anything we said. See a professional if you have the opportunity and resources.
I think we should answer the one about social media.
Yes. So
also, before I cut you off for the 12th time, I'm so sorry, don't shut up.
Okay.
Every week before we have a topic, we'll probably ask you guys to send in a question regarding that topic. So definitely follow us on Instagram if you'd like.
Yeah. So we got one question that says how to keep your peace while being on social media. Is that the question you wanted to do?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I was like, there's no other social media question.
No, that's the one I wrote.
I think me and Bianca both kind of provide similar but different perspectives on this. Mm-hmm. I think coming from personal experience, Bianca is more not dedicated, like, what's the word when you're like really good? Like, I can't think of the word. Not committed, but like disciplined.
I have no idea where you're talking about.
So you're disciplined. And like when in recognizing, like, I need to take a break from social media. And that's something that I really admire from you because I personally struggle with that. Like when you're going through something, you're like, okay, Eliza, like I'm going to be off. Like I'm going to delete Instagram off my phone. Like I'm not going to go on it. Like that one time you were off for 8 months. Like you have that ability to recognize like, okay, like this needs to be, you know, we need to reevaluate this situation. And I think that's a big thing is social media can be such a comparison trap and it can be such as just like a, such like a whirlwind of things. And I think
it's also an addiction too.
Oh, there's scientific studies based on
it. And I think that it was one thing that freaked me out a little bit because there would be moments. So I took a social media break. We kind of talked about this in the last one. Right before I moved to Switzerland, I was just like in the worst place of my whole
life. It was during COVID times.
It was during that time and a little bit before. And then I got back on it right before I moved. And even then I wasn't on it as much as I was before, but I just felt like it was the right thing to do. I also just feel like we consume so much a day that we don't realize what we're taking in. Like we consume so much.
Think about when you're walking outside and you see someone and you're judging yourself based upon that person. Like, oh, I don't look like this 100. Or oh, blah, blah, blah. And then you come back home where it should be your safe space and you're surrounded on your phone and your TV by times 1,000,000%.
For me, it's not, I definitely compare what I look like more so when I was younger, but I think now what I deal with more is comparing my life to other people. Mine's
more goals in my life journey.
Yes.
Like, oh, they're graduating from college and they have a really good job. I'm 23 almost and I haven't finished school.
But then you realize, fuck that. Like, literally, like, fuck that.
You, like, you snap back into reality and you're like, who cares? Like,
literally, who gives a shit?
Your journey is your journey and that's a beautiful thing.
Yes. And think about how many people probably compare themselves to you. And how in your mind you're like, why? Like I'm doing like my own shit.
Like
social media is such a small sliver of a person's life. Well, like I look at my social media and I'm like, how would people perceive me? So different than
I look at mine and I'm like, they would perceive my life as so happy, fun. Like, no.
And it is.
It is in moments, but then other times, like.
But I think of mine, I'm like, people probably think I moved to Europe and it was
the best time of my life, which you did, but like.
Wish I did, but it was also like I still carried my shit with me. I still went to Switzerland and couldn't get out of bed. I still went to Switzerland and dealt with a lot of things there, or I came back from Switzerland because I wasn't doing well, or like I don't know. I look back and I'm just like, oh my god, like, or you look now and your journey is your journey. And I think one thing with social media that's really important: take breaks from it, please. You will feel so much more light, and then you have a better relationship with it. When I took my long break from social media, I didn't even plan on taking almost a year off. When I did, I came back, my relationship was so different with it because I had time away from it and I appreciated it so much. And I think social media can be such a powerful thing. It can create movements, it can create community, it can create change. And I think that's such a beautiful, powerful thing. But on the other side of it, when it comes to more personal life, I think it can really create comparison and can create like negative connotations towards yourself. We are not meant to consume all these people's lives at once. We are not built.
Our brains aren't.
We are not built to scroll through Instagram and see 50 people
7 hours a day. Something. Yeah. Doing that's something not, with friends, blah, blah, blah. Like
it's not how we're meant to be. Yeah. And it's an addiction too. I would notice myself just picking up my phone just as a reflex and checking something. And I'd be like, when did I even get on TikTok?
Sometimes I would go on my phone and I would scroll and I wouldn't even remember what I was looking at. Like I was, it was just like I was a robot just scrolling.
And I'm not saying social media is the root of all evil. I don't think so either. I think, like I said, I think it's a very powerful, beautiful thing when it can be. Mm-hmm. But I also think like anything, it's very important to take breaks.
Double-edged sword for sure.
Yes. And I think it's also one thing that really helps me is limiting or being picky about, not picky, who I follow, who I'm taking in. Yeah. You know, I don't follow many influencers really, but if I do, it's someone that I really love the content that they're putting out and it makes me feel good, or I really like their style. I don't find myself comparing myself to them.
And it doesn't tear you down and be like, oh, like.
No, or I find them more as inspiration versus comparison. And it's not that person's fault if I compare myself to them.
Yeah, that's not their fault. It's on you. It's on me when I'm like.
But it's your job
yeah.
to navigate that and limit that. And I'm also really, like, I like to follow accounts that, you know, talk about certain things going on in the world. And I'm really just aware of what I'm taking in and what is important to me. And like, what's important to me is being educated about what's going on. So I follow accounts that I find reliable in that sense.
What's that account that we really like? The woman who's married to James Blake.
Jamila.
Yes.
Oh my God. Her account she called. Is one of my favorite people on the internet.
She is.
If I could be like anyone, it's her.
If I could interview anyone, it would be her. I would probably be freaking out.
She has a podcast and an Instagram page. I'm pretty sure she's the owner of it. Don't take my word for it, but it's called I Weigh, like weight. And
W-I-G-H-D.
Yeah, she is incredible. She talks about so many things.
She interviews so many
people,
different perspectives.
I've learned so much from
her. I feel like I've learned more on her account than I have in like school.
Absolutely. And she speaks from such an honest place. She calls out herself. She calls out her mistakes. She's just so incredible. And oh my God,
there's always room for growth. Like it's always, how can you improve? How can you build upon this? How can you change kind of thing?
And she has respectful conversations.
Yeah.
And it's different conversations and about things that I had no idea about. I don't know. I just, if you take
very validating context, too, very validating.
Unfollow us and follow her.
Literally, like, go follow I Weigh. Like, she, it's incredible. I remember when you showed me her account, I was like, oh my gosh, like,
yes,
this is amazing.
She says, like, fuck diet culture. She calls out the insane things that people get away with on social media and the things that they promote. It's just incredible. I don't know. I feel like we've talked a lot.
Positive, but, yeah. I don't even know how long we've been going on here for.
Let's link her down below. I'll link her down below.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. Or then.
She has a YouTube channel too, so we can link that as well.
Yes. Also, I Weigh, I don't want to say it's her full thing, because I'm sure people help run it. So I'm going to say we'll link them down below and her down below and everyone. But yeah, just take away from this. You're never alone. You always have someone that understands.
Yeah.
More people than you can probably imagine.
Yeah. And never forget that even if it's just getting out of bed, that getting out of bed in the morning and, you know, whatever, that is an accomplishment in itself. And you need to be proud of yourself for that.
I think I always say this, and when my friends come to me or I catch myself, I always say this, the most change comes from like the daily tasks and the routine that you set for yourself and the mindset that you set for yourself. So
yeah, for sure.
You're never alone and we're here for you. Our DMs are always open.
Yeah.
We hope this was a very respectful conversation. I think my biggest thing is
I don't want to be insensitive to people. Yeah. Like that's not our intention at all.
Never ever. And if we did, we will work on that. But I also think we're still learning. We're only 23.
Yeah, like we're just going through life.
But we hope this helped
you. We're here to learn. For sure.
I hope it felt like a conversation with friends. We are not taking Sally Rooney's thing, but like,
there's actually another podcast called Conversations with Friends that just launched. It's a girl. Did you hear it? The two girls from Berlin. I need to send it to you. That's cute. I meant to do that. Yeah, it's really cute. They're cool.
Also, before we go, I guess whatever, fuck it. We might be moving to Berlin or Amsterdam. So if you live in those two places,
hit us up.
Please, we are going to Berlin and Amsterdam in March to kind of look around and see because we are looking both into both.
Yeah.
Imagine one of us goes to Berlin and one of us goes to Amsterdam. That won't happen. That's my biggest fear.
It's a package deal.
You're going to pick Amsterdam and I'm going to pick Berlin or something.
It's a package deal.
So if you live in either of those places
or any like helpful tools, information, places to go, because we're having a trip in spring. I know that's like really a far ahead of
me. Also, we would love to meet up with you if you guys would want to like show us around.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine? Soon. I would cry. I think I would be like, oh, that would be so amazing.
So if you live in either of those places we're around, please let us know any suggestions. If you are in the, like, if you're in the field of work or anything, please let us know if you have any tips, any places you recommend.
Yeah.
Please let us know, because we are probably going to move this time next year. We'll probably be there.
Yeah, we're already taking steps, trying to
go back abroad, baby.
Planning things out. But
I just never lived abroad and I'm so excited.
You haven't. It's always been a dream. Always been a dream of mine.
It's an honor to talk to you guys.
It's an honor. Yeah, thank you guys so much. Love my British accent.
Thank you so much. DM us. And we'll see you guys.
Our DMs are almost open. Almost open. They're always open.
They're almost open.
They're always open. Thank you guys so much. We love you more than words can express.
I want to give you guys a hug.
I hope you guys have a good rest of your week. Take time for yourself. Be kind to yourself. And
what she said.
That we'll see you next week.
See ya.
See ya. Bye.